Chicago is no stranger to nepotism in our politics.
Chicagoans, from political observers to cab drivers, say Richard Daley's re-election to an unprecedented sixth term as mayor of Chicago is as certain as the sun rising in the east.
I have more to give to keep Chicago moving forward. I am a candidate for mayor of the great city of Chicago.
But it's more than just the Dailies. A long list of county, state, and aldermanic positions pass through a family like a baton in a relay race, some ending in a last name that's remembered in Chicago lore, others, in fact many others, ending in a prison cell. When news broke earlier this month that Walter Burnett Jr. was stepping down and that his son wanted the job, I immediately messaged Block Club Chicago's investigative editor, Mick Dumke, to weigh in on today's Block Club Chicago podcast. Mick Dumke, welcome to the Block Club Chicago podcast again.
Thanks, John. Great to be here again.
With the announcement of Walter Burnett Jr. leaving and his son wanting to take over, it spurred on a conversation amongst us editors at Block Club Chicago about nepotism in Chicago politics. Broadly speaking, Mick, do you think nepotism is just a political thing, or is there something uniquely Chicago, or it's enhanced in Chicago? We certainly seem to amp it up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think both things are true. I do think that politics is often a family business in other cities, other states around the country. I mean, Andrew Cuomo just said he's going to run for in New York City's general election. He was trounced in the Democratic primary a few weeks ago, said he's going to run anyway in the general election. And Andrew Cuomo, in addition to being the former governor of New York State, is the son of a former governor of New York State, Mario Cuomo. And we could go on down the list. I mean, I think the classic example of what we're talking about in terms of like nepotism and succession, political succession, is if we go down to Alabama in the 1960s, bear with me for a second.
I will.
A guy named George Wallace. People who know American history have heard of him. Anti-integrationist, pro-segregation governor. That's how he got elected in 1963. So he served as governor from 1963 to 1967 in Alabama. At the time, they had a one-term limit. You couldn't serve in successive terms down there. So he was one and done, seemingly. So he got his wife, Loreen, to run as governor, and she ran as Mrs. George Wallace. Her name was on the ballot, but like that was her thing, you know, elect Mrs. George Wallace. She got elected. She was fighting cancer at the time of the election. A lot of people thought it was extremely cruel of George Wallace to urge her, i.e. maybe force her to run. Well, she won as Mrs. George Wallace. She served about a year and a half before she died of cancer. And then George Wallace came back as governor in 1971. So he was basically running the state, even though she was ostensibly the governor. Sort of like what Vladimir Putin did. I don't know if everybody remembers, but he had to step away and he installed a puppet for one term, and then he came back into power. Okay, let's transition back to Chicago. There are countless examples of this around the country, but you're right. Chicago kind of specializes in this, John. And we see it especially like in ward level politics.
You got a couple examples?
Absolutely. I think the classic example here that I thought of was a guy by the name of Tom Keene. He was the second most powerful person in Chicago politics during the first Mayor Daley's era. So basically in the 50s and 60s in particular. Everyone's heard about Boss Daley, Richard J. Daley. Well, his ally who ran things in the city council for him was this guy named Tom Keene. Tom Keene represented the 31st Ward from 1945 until 1974. And he took over the office in 1945 when his dad died. His dad had been the alderman before him for 14 years. So Thomas P. Keene serves from 31 to 45. He dies. His son, Thomas E. Keene, is appointed to the seat, serves from 1945 until 1974, when he was convicted of essentially engineering a real estate scheme that allowed him to profit from tax scavenger sales.
I don't mean to laugh, but of course our first example ends in a prison term.
Of course it does, but it doesn't end there.
Because
as he's going off to prison, he gets his friend and longtime ally, Mayor Richard J. Daley, to appoint his wife, Adeline, to serve as alder. So she serves as alderman from 1974 until 1979, when finally the succession ends there. So this family controlled the 31st Ward from 1931 until 1979.
I mean, that's a Chicago story.
It's a total Chicago story.
With the prison sentence in there, of course, too. Who else you got for us, Mick?
Well, Ed Burke. And Ed Burke took over the 14th Ward and ultimately became Chicago's longest serving alderman in history, going from 1969 to 2023 when he decided not to run for re-election. Since 2023, in that short time, he has been convicted of federal crimes and served a brief prison sentence. But Ed Burke took over the 14th Ward from his father, Joseph Burke, who was the alderman from 1953 to 1968. And he died in office. Ed Burke at the time was in his early 20s, a police officer, a night law school student. And first, his father's old cronies in the 14th Ward decided that young Eddie was the person they needed to become the next ward committeeman, i.e. the ward boss. And then once they made that pick, then let's give credit to Eddie Burke. He won a special election in 1969 to take over his father's seat. So essentially that ward was also controlled from 1953 until 2023. Whoa. So by my math, that's 70 years. By father and son Burke. Another quick example from recent times, Kerry Austin just decided not to run for re-election in the last election cycle, 2023. She had been in office since 1994. After Ed Burke, she was the longest serving member of the council during that period. And she took over after her husband died. Her husband had served from the 80s until 1994 when he had a heart attack and died. And Richard M. Daley appointed Lemuel Austin's wife, Kerry Austin, to be the next alderperson for the 34th Ward. And then she went on to serve far longer than her husband actually had. So there's a theme here. I keep naming Daleys.
I was going to say, we can't go any further without mentioning the big one.
The big one. I mean, obviously, family business there. Richard J. Daley, at the time, was the longest serving mayor from 1955 until his death in late 1976. And then subsequently, of course, his son became mayor in 1989 and then broke his father's record for longevity, serving until 2011. They didn't hand that seat off exactly. It was all done through election, but the name was, so powerful and so strong, of course, that very quickly the second Daley was able to, once he got into office, he won a special election. This followed the death of Harold Washington. That's how Richard M. Daley came into office through special election 89. And he very quickly consolidated control, kind of built up a second generation kind of machine. It wasn't exactly like his father's, but that allowed him to keep winning elections over and over. And John, I think he was a pretty good mayor for quite a long time, flawed for sure. But then his last term, maybe his last two terms, were an absolute disaster for the city. Yet I think he would have won again if he had run for re-election, and he chose to step away, having broken his father's record already.
And of course, those two mayors serving over 40 years, but William N. Daley was a U.S. Secretary of Commerce and the Chief of Staff under President Obama. More sons, including more legal issues. I mean, in aldermanic
commission. Well, John Daley, Richard J. Daley's other son, John, is still a Cook County Commissioner.
Right.
He's been the longest serving Cook County Commissioner. He's the dean of the Cook County Board and has been for some time. And I assume he'll hold the seat until he decides that he doesn't want it. So still represents the old 11th Ward where the Daleys come from. So you're totally right. One of the nephews of Richard M. Daley, grandkids of Richard J. Daley, Patrick Daley Thompson, was an alder person until he got into legal trouble himself ended up serving a brief federal stint for his connection to a corrupt bank in the family neighborhood, Bridgeport. I just saw Patrick Thompson a couple weeks ago, John, a zoning committee meeting. He is practicing law again, or at least representing clients who are coming before the city needing zoning changes. And he was there in city council chambers doing the work of a zoning lawyer.
Of course.
And was warmly greeted by his former colleagues.
I mean, so it goes beyond older people, but I mean, can't forget Richard Mell, Deb Mell.
Richard Mell, they're on my list too. Yeah. And you know, Richard and Deb Mell are an example of how this didn't really work,
right,
according to plan, because Richard Mell, long serving alderman from 1975 till 2013, he was kind of in the vein of Walter Burnett, John, in the sense of Walter, of course, has suggested that his son, Walter Redmond Burnett, should take over the 27th Ward after Walter vacates a seat. But like Walter, Richard Mell was a pretty straightforward, you know, guy as a politician. Like, he'd come right out and tell you, oh yeah, I control a bunch of patronage workers, and on election day, we are going to come out there and we are going to kick your butt. He would just say this stuff. He would just do it. I remember being at city council in this lounge area behind city council chambers, milling with other alders, other reporters, and hearing Richard Mell explain to a small gathering of us just sitting there listening as he opined and you know, stood in a soapbox like, yeah, I'm going to try to help her out, you know, just for this first one. At that time, Deb Mell, his daughter, was a state representative. And he was explaining to all of us how he was going to retire, you know, resign his seat and make sure that the mayor had his daughter selected as his successor as the 33rd Ward alderperson. And so he was telling us this before it was a deal. So he did resign his seat. Rahm Emanuel at the time, who was kind of posing as a reformer, a political reformer. I'm going to clean up all the stuff from all the daily years. That was Rahm's whole thing for his first term. Well, he formed a quote unquote committee to do a search for who the best candidate would be in the 33rd Ward. And lo and behold, it ended up being Deb Mell. Wow. The committee really did a lot of work. So Rahm appointed Deb Mell to be the successor, 33rd Ward, as 33rd Ward Alder. She served the remainder of her father's unfinished term and then was elected once on her own. Then her reelection bid, she got into a lot of trouble, and it went into a very contentious runoff, and she ended up losing to Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez by 13 votes.
Wow.
So the old Mel machine that he couldn't deliver for his daughter at the end of the day.
We haven't even touched the Madigans. They're more statewide, of course. The Lipinskis.
That's right.
The Stroger family. I mean, these are big names, and there's reasons why these last names stick with us so much, because of just the legacies of either the person who started the dynasty or the people that finished it. There's so many.
Street in Chicago. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a street in Chicago, Cullerton, on the near south side, and that was a political family. There, I don't know how many Cullertons served as alderperson or members of the state general assembly through the years. And there's a street named after him now. The list could go on and on. There's Tony Lorino, who served as alderman for almost 30 years. Then Richard M. Daley appointed his daughter, Margaret, to serve as alder. And she served for 27 years. We can go on.
The Beavers.
Bill Beaver, yes. Bill Beavers on the southeast side, 7th Ward, South Shore area, alderman for 23 years, and then carried out a whole scheme where he had, you mentioned the Strogers, John Stroger was incapacitated by a stroke. So Alderman Beavers managed to get Todd Stroger elevated to take over his father's seat as Cook County board chair, got himself to take over the empty seat that John Stroger had in the Cook County board, and then got his daughter installed as his successor as 7th Ward.
A rare double nepotism. Bingo.
That's right. And then she was defeated. She was defeated in her first attempt for a full term, Darcel Beavers, by another name you've heard of, Sandy Jackson, yes. Then married to Jesse Jackson Jr., who was at the time a congressman and was backing candidates in city elections. So he, Jr., managed to get Sandy Jackson elected 7th Ward Alder, you know, until they both got into legal trouble, et cetera. And Jr.'s brother, Jonathan, is now the congressman for the district that Jr. once held. So
my head hurts.
List goes on and on. I know it's like tracing royal families in Britain or something when they're all at war and you don't know who married into a royal family in France or whatever. It's just, it's the same kind of thing. It's like a handful of families and overlapping stories. It's crazy.
Kind of, Mick, are starting to sound like Charlie Day, the gif of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia character and the map and the he's trying to piece it all together. That's a little bit where Chicago nepotism starts to feel like. Yeah, I'm convinced. You know, nepotism has a negative connotation. So some of these I would say are dynasties, and certainly some folks who maybe got the position because of their parent or sibling or wife or whatever went on to do big things in their own right. So
I think it's, in some cases it's just rank nepotism. In other cases, it really is the family business. It's the family trade in a certain sense. I mean, we're not doing a podcast about families that have doctors or that True. People become lawyers generation after generation and go and practice with each other. They have law firms that are built around families. So I think this does happen in other kinds of work, but these are public offices. And when it's done through appointment, when it seems like it's gifted to someone, that's where it really makes my skin crawl and where you have to raise questions about the process. But in some instances, like we mentioned, the Madigans, Mike Madigan, the longtime dominant figure in Illinois state politics, let's face it, he got his daughter, Lisa, elected attorney general when she really wasn't qualified the first time in 2003. She subsequently was elected again and again, served 16 years, and I think by most counts was thought to be a pretty good attorney general for the state of Illinois. I'm not saying she was perfect, just saying that there was a reason people kept reelecting her, and it wasn't just because of her dad's name. In fact, I think that she was elected in spite of her dad's name for at least, you know, several of those terms. So you're totally right. Sometimes people learn the trade because their parents were involved in it or other family members, and they get very good at it and become very good public servants.
I think that that's why a lot of people, and we don't know what's going to happen yet with Walter Burnett Jr. As of this podcast taping, we don't have any sort of announcement or anything along those lines, and there's going to be a process that plays out. I think a lot of people's first reaction is an eye roll and this kid's not going to be able to do anything. Who knows? If he gets appointed, he could lose his next election, or he can start his own dynasty. A young guy with a big name and a lot of allies. Who knows, Mick?
You don't know. Exactly. I think, you know, when a person resigns their office before the end of the term and then someone else gets appointed to finish it, You have to challenge that a little bit. You at least have to raise questions about it, because it does give that person a head start in the next election. I mean, you're running for, even if, let's say, Walter Red, he said he wants to be called, so the next Walter Burnett, Walter Red Burnett, let's say he gets appointment as 27th Ward Alder, he's got 2 years to put his name on stationery yep. and to go around the ward as the incumbent alder. And that is a real advantage to people. Now, if he screws it up and people are unhappy, okay, well, you know, there is some pressure involved for Red if he ends up stepping into this role, for sure.
Mick, that was very entertaining. I hope our listeners agree. I think so. I think... if you made it 3 minutes, you made it the whole way through. Let me just say that. Mick Dumke, you're a wealth of knowledge as always. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Really great talking with you.
For more on this story and plenty more, head to blockclubchicago.org. And I'll link to our coverage of Walter Burnett Jr.'s retirement and more. Till next time, I'm John Hanson. We'll drop some pods on you next week.